What is happening? What is happening? Yogi Roth here. Welcome back to the Life Without Limits podcast. And it has been an incredible experience on this thing. Your comments, reviews are awesome. Today, I am jacked because this is the first time in the history of this podcast. We are bringing back somebody for the second time. And it's the second time in a week. That's right. Part two of the Joey Roberts podcast. Now, the feedback from part one. Now, Joey Roberts, for those of you that did not listen to part one yet, he's a young man who works at ESPN, has climbed his way up the ranks, is also the director of scouting at the Elite 11, the premier quarterback camp in the entire world. But this young man, much more important than that, bared his soul on the last podcast. We heard from people from that he grew up with. I'm sure he's going to reference that. We got great love on social media from guys like Trent Dilfer, Adam Schefter. He just kind of it kind of went nuts. And it was the power of storytelling. And Joey did an incredible job of being really open. And we teased on that initial podcast that we bring him back after he went to Europe, the first vacation in his adult life. So let's bring him in and let's talk about how exploring the globe impacted this young storyteller's mind. Joey Roberts, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, I guess.
Yo, it's good to be back, man.
Whole new outlook on life. So what was it like? Were we the first podcast you had been on as a guest?
You're the first anything I've been on as anything. And to be honest, it was like, what's the reach of Life Without Limits podcast? You asked me to come on and tell my story, and it was a great way to talk about my life. And then before you know it, you text me or call me and said, Adam Schefter just retweeted the link out to 4.9 million people. And then you start getting text messages from friends and college buddies and high school buddies. And it kind of took on a life of its own over the past 24, 36 hours.
What's that like for you? Because you're not even on Twitter. I told you that and it was like news to you.
Yeah, I got a hashtag. We got a hashtag Joey Roberts going, so if we can get that trending, maybe that's good. No, it's been great, because at the end of the day, it's my story, and it's all the truth, and you can replicate it over and over and tell that story for years to come. And personally, I got a call from one of my good childhood buddies, and, you know, in the podcast, the first episode, I talk about dealing with a disease called palmar hyperhidrosis, and that's basically sweaty palms, and 1% of, you know, the world suffers from it. And my buddy who grew up in our area called and said, dude, I deal with palmar hyperhidrosis every day. And I was like, whoa. And he goes, it's an inspiration. I'm going to talk to my parents now that I know that the surgery can have life-changing effects, and he's going to do that, and hopefully the surgery goes well, and that he's cured from having sweaty palms and having the feeling that people are always thinking that he has social anxiety or nervousness when he really doesn't. It's just his body reacting in a different way than any other body.
Wow, that was crazy, man. You called me and you're like, I can't believe, you know, somebody who I hadn't talked to in a while listened, and I can't believe you went through what I went through. And that's the beauty of storytelling and technology these days. And we teased in episode one or part one of your podcast how you were about to go on your first holiday and your first vacation. We were going to Europe, and you were going to come over and meet me there. So I want to jump right into that and kind of take us through your mindset, because you've had some time to reflect since the trip. You know, purposely, Joey and I have not talked about the trip just because I wanted it to be so fresh when he came on this podcast. So looking back, Joey, I mean, we went Paris, Venice, Italy, and then all the way through Croatia, and then you even on the back end went to Barcelona. Looking back, big picture, before we get into the minutia of it, how did that trip impact you?
You know, we haven't talked, and it's been a couple of weeks. I guess the first thing that hit my brain, and I've told this to anyone who asked how the trip went, is I didn't think it was possible to be so physically drained but yet mentally rejuvenated at the same time, have a clearer aspect, like, outlook on life. And, you know, you probably mentioned on the podcast, your 10-minute hits, that when I got off the plane in Paris, I met you at the Airbnb apartment. you told me what we were doing, and you didn't put mileage markers on it at all, or what we would be eating or anything like that. And we just went, and it was 20 miles of walking in less than 24 hours from Notre Dame to La Louvre to Montmartre to the catacombs. But like 20 miles in 24 hours, that wasn't on the itinerary. Not that we had an itinerary, but I was thinking that, and then you kind of transitioned to Venice, and you transitioned all the places that we just went and walked and semi-jogged slash ran at points. And I said, man, how do I feel so fresh mentally but yet physically so drained? And then it comes back to, you know, what you preach on the podcast and what Dr. Gervais preaches and that any high-performance coach preaches is just being mindful and being aware of who you are at that point in that moment. And that was pretty cool. It was just, it's all uncharted territory. If you take a wrong left turn, you may not come back to the apartment without having to ask the right people because of the language barrier. And it made you extremely present in the moment just to figure out the situation at hand, not worrying about the Elite 11 finals and not worrying about the opening or mini camps or anything in between.
How hard was that for you? I mean, you know, I know for me as a traveler, you know, I've been going for a long time now, and my favorite part is dropping into a community and not knowing anybody and just relying on instinct, kind of like when we were an athlete again. You know, you go left, you go right, you don't have a plan, you just kind of go with what you feel. And you dropped into Paris, you know, it was a muggy morning, you just kind of showed up at the Airbnb that I had, and away we went. But I'm curious what your first experience was like being there, because I can't even necessarily remember my first experience when I got to another country. I was 22, and the only thing I can remember is I didn't have a clue, you know. And I'm curious what you have now, because you're a mature guy. You've been through a lot professionally in your life, personally as well, as you mentioned in your last podcast. But what was it like touching down?
Touching down was, you know, you can talk about the lack of itinerary and the lack of structure until you actually do it. Then it becomes real. And I think probably it wasn't even Paris, as I just said, we moved every which way and hit up so many historic places. I would almost venture to say, you know, it was Venice and not knowing exactly where we're going to stay that day. When does the boat take us off at La Zaccaria port, even all the way down to Croatia. As the days built up and the lack of structure kept on building up, then that's when I started to wrap my brain around it's okay to unplug, and it's okay to not have an itinerary of knowing exactly what you're going to do at every second of every day, because that's the culture that we grow up in, especially you in production business as well. Literally every second in the rundown is calculated. Literally every second of our Elite 11 finals is calculated. Even every second of the opening is down to the second, and that's kind of, you go day by day and year by year like that, and then you kind of get dropped into a foreign country and like, all right, so if we want to go to the catacombs in the morning, we can go to the catacombs. If we want to go check out the Italian restaurant, we can check out the Italian restaurant. If we want to get on a boat to Croatia, we can get on a boat to Croatia. Kind of the world is your oyster type of mentality, and it definitely opened my eyes to, like, it's possible. And now whether I apply it to day-to-day life back here in the United States, I think I can mix in some aspects of that.
Wow, that's pretty heavy, man. What was it like for you not knowing? Like, take us a little further into that. I mean, I'm not a good planner. I feel a great planner when it comes to, like, Elite 11 or college football, but purposely I don't try to plan. And I didn't have any anxiety with you coming because I wasn't worried about it. You know, clearly we know each other pretty well. I wasn't worried about, you know, you being uncomfortable or anything like that. But I am curious about when you wake up and there is absolutely zero plan and you're in a foreign country, what that's like for you, if you can go another layer deeper.
Another layer deeper, I guess the word that doesn't exist in the dictionary, but we always use it in our quarterback world with the kids, is figure it outness. Ultimately this, okay, so what's the initial launch point? Where are we going from? And then how are we going to maneuver off that and pivot off that? And ultimately the only kind of anxiety I had at the beginning was the language barrier. We talked about it somewhere on the ride to through Croatia. Definitely when we have kids, you're gonna make sure that they can thrive after 22 years old. And that's definitely learning a second language. And I didn't know that in high school when you're just kind of going through the motions of Spanish, French, and all that stuff. So the language barrier was daunting, but then I look back on it, it wasn't even that big of an obstacle at all, because at the end of the day, these people were so great and so compassionate, and they figured out ways to communicate what you needed the answers to be. And forever grateful for that, because there was about probably 7 to 10 times when easily it could have gone off the road, off script, and we'd be lost. And then people went out of their way to help us, whether that was in Hvar, when Ellen came down and said, hey, do you guys need a place to stay, or at the bus station, or at the boat station, where people were mapping out directions of what to see. The layer deeper is that realize that the language of kindness is a language that's spoke by everyone.
We're going to get to that in a minute. I'd like you to take everybody through the story of we're in Venice Beach, or not Venice Beach, we're in Venice, Italy, and we're on our way to Croatia. And I had this great idea that instead of flying there, we would go from Paris to Venice because it was really cool and you can get maximize another day. And then we just take this supposed ferry across the water, and we find our way in this beautiful country of Croatia. And it didn't necessarily turn out that way. And if you could tell your version of the story, Joe, I think the listeners would get a kick out of it.
Oh, the boat ride? And I qualified it to Trent as, like, near death, and I don't want to go hyperbole to that point, but I guess a near-death experience, you take a quick self-reflection on, you know, what you've done, where you are currently, and what you ultimately want it to be. And then, you know, what's going to happen if this does go take the wrong turn. So, we boarded that boat, probably 200 seats, 120 people, and a lot of people started sitting in the back, which we'll find out later why they started sitting in the back. And we sit down, and 15 minutes in, it's choppy. The waters are howling, and rain's coming down, and initially, there's elation and joy, and you got little kids putting their hands up like it's a roller coaster. And then about 45 to an hour in, you go, this is not good. This is not normal. And I haven't been on many boats, and I haven't been overseas, but the concept of having a boat legitimately catch air, and then you're out of your seat about 3 or 4 inches, and then come back in, and then catch air, and then you're out of your seat, and then you hear this loud thump at the bottom of the boat, and you're like, gosh, hour and a half in, it's a 3-hour boat ride, and I'm looking around, and it's a war scene in the fact that people are dropping, and by dropping, I mean throwing up, vomit everywhere. Women are crying, guys are crying, kids are scared and looking over, and it's just left and right. There's not enough vomit bags to hold the vomit in the boat. and the clearest day reminder was the guy behind me was all, you know, joyous and happy, and he's kind of laughing at everyone else as they're throwing up and they're sick and they're crying, and I hear this, and I look back and I'm like, oh, that's just something else. What goes around comes around, I guess. But, it was interesting just to take the exercise that you urged everyone on the podcast to do, and that's you get a moment in your life that you know you're never going to be able to replicate. It's impossible. So as you looked at me about an hour in, I noticed that, like, I would never be able to replicate this, so I started journaling on my phone and just typed out whatever I was feeling at the time, typed out observations that led to thoughts about different things in my life, different overarching broad brush themes, or even nitty-gritty themes. That was my way to stay calm, was to really dive deep into my own mental thought process as others were struggling or some were borderline off the deep end. And then you were, I looked over you and you're staring off into the distance and you found a focal point and you locked in and you did not move from there on out. So we all have our ways of figuring it out, but, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes into the ride after just hell and high water, finally get the guy to go over the captain to get on the intercom and say, hey, we are 10 minutes outside Croatia, without any update throughout the whole boat ride, and just calm as day, just, hey, we're 10 minutes outside Croatia. If you are getting off at this port, get your baggage and exit stage left. Like, I was totally taken aback. It felt like the biggest sigh of relief when we docked in. You felt like you'd gone through something tremendous with everyone in the boat, good, bad, and indifferent. So that was certainly one to remember.
Oh, no doubt. We're going to post a picture on this blog. I took one of you, Joey, and it's great. You're sitting back, and he painted the picture. I mean, this boat is rocking. Boom, boom. And he's like in this Buddhist meditative state, eyes closed at times, journaling on his phone, earbuds in, listening to some country music. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, this guy might be a rookie as a traveler, but he's a veteran in chaotic situations, man. It was classic. So a great story. So we get to Croatia, and neither one of us had ever been to Croatia. And we had a minimal plan in Croatia outside of, we wanted to get to Plitvice Lakes. We wanted to get, we're trying to get to Hvar, this amazing party island, and then obviously down to Dubrovnik. When you looked at the plan of attack in Croatia, what did you think? And then when you were in it, how did it impact you? Because now we're a couple days into your trip, and as you referenced earlier, you're allowing yourself to unplug.
Yeah, when we got the map of Croatia and where we were going to get to, Rovinj, up in the northern part of Croatia, and then come on down to Plitvice National Park in central Croatia, all the way down to Split, to Hvar, to Dubrovnik, they're all just obviously just names, being it's conceptualized where they were on a map. But as we were going through and, you know, you put Venice in the rearview mirror and the boat ride in the rearview mirror and to truly unplug, that's when it started to, you can start to feel it, that you don't have to answer every call as it's coming in. As you have said, do the mental exercise. Do you remember the last 10 emails you sent? And if you do, then you're good. But if you don't, then you're like every 99% of the world that you can unplug for a little bit and you won't lose anything. So that's as we ventured in the car, all the way down the coast, every day it started layering the thought that if you don't answer immediately, or if you don't even answer within a few hours, because we didn't get Wi-Fi until nighttime at every spot, you'll be perfectly fine and nothing will fall apart. And that was the beauty of it, was to have the mindfulness that you can stay in the moment, especially at Plitvice National Parks, one of the most majestic places of all times, with all the waterfalls and the hike that we went on, to know, like, all right, if a question about Elite 11 or a question about mini camps or a question about production or 7-on-7 comes up, it's going to take care of itself whenever the answer comes back overseas.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny. It, from my perspective, as we got into Croatia and got going down the coast and made the trip over there, we have this amazing dinner. We ate, I'd say, as well as I've ever eaten in my entire life, and drank a bottle of wine every night. I just had a great time. But listening to you from day one when we got to Paris, and I'm at fault as well, we're walking 20-plus miles, and we're catching up. You know, we haven't seen each other in a little while. We're talking football. We're talking Elite 11. We're talking coaches. We're getting ready for the summer. But by the time we get to Croatia, the F word, football, isn't even being mentioned. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing if it was, but when I travel, I get as far away from my profession and one of my favorite things in the world, just because I think it's healthy. And I saw you getting away from that. Did you feel that? And what did that feel like for you when you really got removed? Because this is your first vacation in your adult life.
Yeah, it's uncharted territory, and we listen to podcasts that had nothing to do with football and went to obviously areas of the of Croatia, or actually if you just want to put it in general, like at Hvar, when we went scuba diving, and the guy from the Netherlands asked, you know, where do you work? And you know, you say, I work at ESPN. He goes, what is that? And I'm like, this is awesome. This is great. You know, it's a 24-hour sports network. It's located in Bristol, Connecticut. We have a couple of studios in L.A. and D.C., but, you know, it's a cool place to work. He goes, oh, that's awesome, Vic. I watch a lot of soccer. I'm like, dude, that's fantastic. So in your mind internally, like, this is exactly what you need to get away from the daily sports, the daily football. And as we're going on and the conversation or the thoughts moved away from football, there's definitely I think that's part of the rejuvenating part that I mentioned at the beginning, to again know that if you unplug, you can plug back in and everything will be just fine. So whether it's at Hvar, where I told that story, or Dubrovnik, or even Barcelona, you said the story, I think, multiple times. They could not care less that Jared Goff was selected number one overall to the Rams, and how many picks the Rams gave to the Titans to get up to number one. And all things being equal, that was just that fact, just to know that the day-to-day current events of the NFL meant 1% of significance in the world we were in was a great feeling to have.
That's awesome, man. I got a couple quick hitters for you here as we kind of put a button on this one, man. I want to know, looking back, because you've had time to reflect, right? You had a long flight home. I want to know what one of your favorite moments was when we were together, but then also if you can explore when you went and truly traveled on your own and share that story, because you went to Barcelona after Croatia and I went to London.
One of the best moments we had, I loved Hvar. And for kind of every reason that people don't know Hvar for, and I get it's a party island, I get that we were not in high season, but just the fact that Ellen comes down and she sees that we're looking around, she's like, hey, do you guys need a place to stay? Yeah, how much is it? 250 kuna? 250 kuna, that's like $30. Yeah, like, we'll check it out. Like, second floor apartment, overlooking the city in the village. And I told you, I'm like, gosh, if I ever disappear, and you don't know where I'm at, and I, you know I'm alive. You know that I took a flight to Split, and I took a boat to Croatia, and I found Ellen, and I'm sitting in the second floor apartment overlooking the village at sunset. That was kind of like a mental imagery picture that I will always have. So that Hvar was awesome. Scuba diving is awesome. With these lakes, Venice, and the food, the gnocchi. Wine, but you know, I think scratching ones to show how small of a world it is in Paris, outside of Notre Dame. We're about to enter Notre Dame, and a big 6'4", 230-pound dude comes up, Joey, from afar, and I'm like, oh crap, what the heck happened right now? Like, I'm in Paris, I'm four hours into this trip, and someone's yelling my name. This can't be happening. So you initially like ignore the Joey first, Joey, then you get the second Joey. All right, this is happening. And it's Alan Bridgeford, my high school quarterback, who he was a sophomore when I was a senior at Missionville High School, ends up going on to be an All-American, ends up going to play at Cal, transfers to Southern Miss, and he's out playing at Amsterdam for the European team they have out there. And he was literally just on a five-hour trip down to check out Paris on an off day. So it was great catching up with him and the gift of travel and exchanging stories of what he's seen since being overseas and obviously catching up on stuff back home. That was a memorable experience that, you know, I will certainly not forget, to see Alan in Paris, without any pre-planned idea that we were going to see each other. So, second part of the question, Barcelona, I think more is just walking up and down the boardwalk and just literally exploring, going up on Miramar Hill and taking pictures and, taking your recommendation, taking my buddy Ryan Atney's recommendation to eat at certain restaurants, the tapas were great. People were great. And then literally, like you said, just find a park, bunker down, start reading or just observing. There wasn't anything ultimately exciting that you can technically tangibly say, like, oh, I went to a different spot that's historical in that shape or form. It was at the back end of a big win for the soccer team or the football team, so a lot of people were energetic and hyped about that day that I arrived. But ultimately, it was just the idea of just sitting there and looking at a park of many different people, and ultimately knowing that when your mind strays towards football, that you can bring it back, which is kind of a skill you developed over the last 7 days.
Yeah, that's pretty radical, man. I thought it was really interesting when you were talking to each other on this trip, and you said you told the people that you work with about it, right? It was all the people that retweeted it, right? It was Trent. It was Adam. You said you had a conversation with everybody's favorite, Susie Colbert. I think it was really interesting to hear them tell you, and you'll share it better than me, but how much fun and enjoyment they got out of traveling. And now in this world where they're all rock stars in their profession, I wonder if they travel as much, and even if they do or they don't, but I wonder for you as a guy who's trending in this profession, right? Everybody sees you, and we've talked about it, and you may be uncomfortable, but you're a rock star. You're moving. Did this trip shift an element in your life to remain maybe more process-oriented around exploring, seeking versus outcome-oriented, and I want this job and I'm going to go compete for it because I'm in this hyper-competitive profession?
I think it's always been process-oriented. It's always been in the moment. It's always been day-to-day, maybe week-to-week. The truly embracing of the journey. The outcome-oriented, I can't control the outcome. So if I spend any energy on what that's going to come about, then I've already lost. So hearing Susie and hearing Adam Schefter and Todd McShay and Wendy Nix and everyone in between and more, I'm trying all like, what are you waiting for? Go.
What's that about? Market. Yeah, keep going on that. Like,
I don't know. Maybe they knew kind of my build up to that point. They know, you know, I'm here to work and here to have fun too and find joy in my job. But it was consensus. I mean, it was, you know, talk about The Alchemist and reading The Alchemist, The Omens. When you six or seven or eight of your closest mentors are all saying go and don't look back, you should go and not look back. Even more of a joy because you have stories to tell and you can be a storyteller. And you can share stories, you can share commonalities of people who had been to Croatia or Barcelona or people that are looking to explore that, and you can offer insight. I think that's the greatest gift, is that you're taking in all this information, sensory information, and you're compartmentalizing it, and at the right point, you can give it back to your closest friend or your college buddy who, like my college buddy just happened to be out in Croatia the next week, and he was asking about Hvar, and he was asking about Dubrovnik, and I was like, gosh, I'm actually giving insight to somewhere overseas travel-wise. That still doesn't resonate very clearly in my mind because I just never done it before. So ultimately, just having the support of closest mentors, colleagues, to say go, and you won't regret it, that was kind of the final deal to text you. I had booked the flight from Boston to Paris, and I'm looking forward to learning about myself and learning about the journey, travel, and the gift of travel all in one.
You know, when I listened back to our first interview, right, it was over a month ago, and you have a quote that's so poignant, and you said, I will never be able to help a quarterback reach his maximum potential if I'm not reaching my maximum potential. Curious, now that you've had time to reflect on your trip, on your personal journey, your alchemistic path, how does it make you better in terms of not only reaching your potential, we've talked about that, but also now in your eyes, how are you going to be able to influence the next generation of quarterbacks? Because we're heading into the Elite 11 this weekend, which is the top 24 quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, I think it's an awareness. It's an awareness that we take ourselves seriously. I mean, I think everyone in the corporate world takes yourself seriously. Like your job is to get the job done and to help others and to get promoted and to work your way up and have a family. But to know how, going back to the Jared Goff thing, like how small we really are, to know that the guy from the Netherlands doesn't care if I work at ESPN. Like
right.
That, to have that feeling, of being small within the bigger framework of what's happening in the world, and to know that the kids that we're going to have come in are, you say rock stars, they're 100% rock stars. They have really never been told in their life that they're not that good. They're the 5-star, 4-star, can't miss prospect, next coming of Andrew Luck, the next coming of Peyton Manning, the next Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, they've been labeled with everything that under the sun by recruiting databases and reporters because it's they developed and they've put on good tape and they've obviously shown well in the camp setting. But to articulate to them, you still are very small in the bigger scheme of things. You still are very small in the football ecosystem. You really haven't accomplished much of anything. And
right.
If they can wrap their brain around that, as we say, they're going to enter a college quarterback room where there's 4 other guys just like them, and they don't want them to succeed. There's not going to be any hand-holding to bridge the gap to the next guy, which is them. They're going to have to compete, and they're going to have to dip down to every ounce of their intestinal fortitude to really compete and to really understand that that they're really not that good at that time, and they can get better, and they can always get better, and that it's an ongoing process. It's a process-driven journey that they're on. And if they think that becoming the 5-star can't-miss prospect right now is the end goal, then they've already lost. They think that just starting one game at the college level is the end goal, then they've already lost. I mean, it's something way bigger. And I think that's what just being around a culture or cultures that care about football and making it feel so small, because we put the NFL and college football on a pedestal, that's the awareness that I took away from it, that hopefully I can gift off in some way, shape, or form to motivate these future influencers to make an impact that's far bigger than football.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That gives me chills. All right. Last couple quick hitters. You know, I like to end with a couple of these. Follow up or complete this sentence. Being out of my comfort zone.
Being out of my comfort zone help me take a step forward to maximize my overall potential.
That's all. That's a poster. That's awesome. No Wi-Fi for a day.
No Wi-Fi for a day. The first day, no Wi-Fi for the first day. All nervousness. No Wi-Fi for the ninth day. All greatness.
I will say this as a little anecdote and injection here. Afterwards, we met in San Francisco for the Elite 11, and I saw Trent Dilfer, our head coach, and he goes, I told Joey to go on this trip, and the minute he left, all I needed to do was talk to him. I had so much anxiety that he wasn't around.
Yeah, I mean, I did get one evaluation in, and that was an NVAR, and I almost kind of made myself do it for Rocky Lombardi, the Michigan State commit, just to watch his film and send off the eval, which they're about to go to Chicago, and just knowing that you'd never be on top of the apartment overlooking a sunset. So that was one that I chose to dip into the football world just for temporarily.
I will say, though, it was epic. I mean, I literally come back from a run and go on top of this rooftop, and there's Joey Roberts' laptop out overlooking one of the most beautiful sights on the planet, and just knocking out Rocky Lombardi's evaluation. So, Rocky, you better ball out this weekend after you hear it. Okay, last couple. Traveling.
Traveling is a gift that you can give yourself at any time. You can give a loved one at any time. but it's a gift that everyone should experience.
Traveling alone.
Traveling alone will make you dig deeper into your own personal philosophy and your understanding of the world. And it's also a gift, if possible, to give to yourself. You should give it.
Traveling with Yogi. Be honest.
Traveling with Yogi, probably the best blessing that a first-time traveler could ever have overseas. The ultimate tour guide. Knows the ins and outs of just figuring things out on the road. And without him, maybe we're not having this podcast. I might still be overseas and have lost my way, but a big, big thanks to traveling with Yogi.
Oh, wow, that's very kind of you. Last two. When my parents listen to this podcast, I hope.
When my parents listen to this podcast, I hope that they are proud that their hard work day to day that's ever been seen when we were younger, not appreciative, ultimately opened up doors and opportunities that they could have never imagined for their kids.
Well, that's really cool. You know, I've always felt that in traveling, Joey, we go to see something specifically, but what we end up doing is seeing ourselves differently. So to finish this podcast off, couple weeks removed from your first trip out of the United States, you have to finish the sentence. I see myself. How would you say it?
I see myself truly aware of the journey that I'm on, that I can always get better at every step of the way. And if I stay true to the feeling that I can help others reach their maximum potential, then I will ultimately be taking steps towards reaching my maximum potential.
That's awesome, dude. It was an honor to take the trip with you, bro. It was great to see you go from rookie to vet in less than 48 hours. And we'll do it again soon, man. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good, Yokes. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you. Elite 11 Finals coming up. We'll be all over it. That is Joey Roberts. Joey's phenomenal. I mean, this young man, 27 at times, people have said he's going on 40. But Joey is wise. He's gracious. He's kind. He's an explorer. He's got an edge to him. And for me, watching him as a guy who's traveled for a long time, grow into somebody who just sees the world. Because you don't see it really until you get to go see it. You know, I grew up, I've told you guys on this podcast a bunch of times, in an international house. And it was a global vibe, but it never hit me till I went and saw it. So as always, we finish these podcasts. This one's a little shorter because I wanted to do the recap for part two with Joey Roberts. Number one, thanks for listening. Please review it, share it. That stuff matters. We've been charging. It's been really fun sharing a variety of these stories. There's some great ones coming up. This month is going to be a theme around competing at the greatest position in sports, which is quarterback. I think you're going to love some of the guests we have on, talking about good times, bad times, adversity, pounding through that, getting broken and climbing back up. I think it's going to be really inspirational and impactful to a lot of you. But the challenge, just like Joey Roberts did, is number one, go at least a day without Wi-Fi. And number two, go explore something unique, see something different, whether it's around the corner, whether it's a different town, whether it's a different country. And you can do it. You don't have to go tomorrow. If you got to save up, save up. Don't go out next weekend. Put $20 away. You know, get an extra job. Because this world, at the end of the day, it's about what we see and, like Joey said, what we can gift. Joey is gifting his experiences to help other people maximize their potential so he can maximize his. And I think that's so poignant and something that I definitely took away from our conversation and, of course, our trip. So lots of love. We're going to keep rolling on the Life Without Limits podcast. And as we always end this bad boy, the only limits that we have are the ones we set ourselves. Peace.